Welcome, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. 10:04 on the clock on this October 24th, 2022. Got your host, James J. behind the mic, and I am joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul. Good morning, Paul.
You know, October 24th means that we've only got 61 shopping days until Christmas. So if you're looking for a little something for that special Playmakers host of yours.
That's right.
You want to get on that.
We can get a tie again this year. We'll get a different. maybe a tie in sports. Maybe that's what we'll get.
Let's tie sports into this.
Good to have you here, Randy. How you been?
Good. How about you?
Very good. Very good. And a lot to talk about today. Certainly a big weekend of sports. Plenty to cover. I do want to let the audience know a couple of things. One, a big thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out, sponsoring the show. Visit them for all your printing needs. And sometime between now and 11, you're going to have a chance to win a pair of River Kings tickets.
Awesome.
Got a couple of general admission tickets here. Randy has one. I have one. We put them together to give to you. Be sure to call us at 424-2600 for that a little bit later. But call up that number right now with your sports thoughts and feelings. We want to talk to you. Want to hear anything you want to talk about over the weekend, everybody. All of our major sports are pretty much in play. So anything you want to talk about, you know, you want to talk some hockey, you want to talk some basketball, baseball, football, whatever it is, we'll get into it. And Randy and I will probably after at the 10:30 mark, we'll get into our high school coverage.
A lot of events took place this weekend. Somebody said there was a special name for what happened this weekend where you had NFL football, Major League Baseball, NHL hockey, and NBA basketball, the four. That only happens very seldomly during the year, Sunday was one of those days.
Yeah, and I know what you're talking about. I've heard it before. I call it Nirvana, but there is a name for it, though.
There is,
I can't think of what it is, though.
Can't even think of it either.
So there is a million places we could start, Randy. I want to make sure that we make time to talk about the MLB playoffs. We've got a World Series set. Houston and Philadelphia are going to be facing off. I don't think a lot of us have that on our bingo card as far as who was going to be in this.
Nor did we want it there.
Yes, very true. So I want to dive into that before we let go. Certainly a big weekend in college athletics, too, but we all know who's king, the NFL. And I can't think of a better place to start than with NFL football. And interesting weekend where you look at some things. Like the last two weekends, I've seen these stats of, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady haven't lost in the same week or with the Vegas odds being what they were and all these factors, all these little things here. All that stuff is just, you know, for talking heads to fill a 24-hour news cycle. What it really comes down to is we make jokes all the time about scouts. And scouts really, like, they're for everything they hit on, they miss. You know, for every time a first-round draft pick worked out, you got a Tom Brady and that kind of situation, so we pick on those things. Those of us that cover sports or just take them in, it's not as if we're that original ourselves, you know? I mean, when we're looking at these things to pick at, what could it be? What could it be? This, and this. So much so to the point that watching a bit of the Green Bay game this weekend, right as they're getting ready, and as Green Bay's offense, I believe, was going to take the field for the first time, they have a graphic come up of the four major changes that have gone on in that organization with your QB coach, your offensive coordinator, your center, and Devontae Adams, of course, being gone. So we've heard people talk about Devontae Adams being gone since the moment it happened. And everybody, and all eyes on Aaron and that receiving core and how they're going to handle it and all that. But these other factors, I hadn't put that all together. Even though I knew all those things individually, I hadn't put it all together, really, in a short season. We're only a little bit in, and it hadn't really occurred to me. And I thought to myself, wow, that's some great reporting right there. Like, nicely done. And then I realized 2 seconds later, what? I mean, everybody should be covering it this way. How are you not talking about it, especially with when you're looking for things to talk about and all anybody wants to do is bring up Devontae Adams? And sure, that is a key thing to this conversation. But I think the other stuff is pretty, you know, big to put in there, too. And I know that especially when it comes to the major, the Mouse Network, to Fox, when they cover sports, they don't want to talk about good stuff. They want to talk about who's struggling, who's having a hard time and everything. And I understand that. But you can't do one without the other. You can't. I mean, a back-to-back MVP doesn't just fall off. Okay, I know this stuff happens pretty quickly, and as fans, we're usually the first ones to notice, and the athlete is the last one to know. But I have a hard time believing this is completely a one-person thing. It's not just that, oh, you've got a young receiving a bunch of receivers who keep dropping balls. Aaron is not getting the ball out quick enough. He's not doing things. He's not trusting his receivers. All this stuff is important. All this stuff adds to, you know, the effect. And it leads me to wonder, for the first time in a long time, are you concerned about Green Bay? Are there concerns? Because there have been ups and downs before, and you know, especially in the era of this new coach in LaFleur, where they start out that first week of the season kind of rough, and then they turn right the ship. Aaron has had rough games to start out with, and then he ends up winning an MVP. This feels different to me. This season feels a little bit different with all these moving parts, with all this uncertainty, with the offseason the way it was. I'm curious to know, 424-2600. I'm done hearing from talking heads. I want to hear from actual fans. What, how are you guys concerned? Do you have any worries? I'm a Chicago fan. All I do is worry. All I do is stress. So this is nothing new to me. But my friends that are Packer fans, which is almost every single one of them, I'm hearing from them and I'm seeing things from them that I haven't seen in 10, 15 years maybe even longer than that, going back before with Mikowski and stuff.
Yeah, we haven't had to do this for three decades. Maybe there's an anomaly in there for a year or two. But, you know, I think the thing that worries people is that we've had two quarterbacks that have lasted basically 30 years. I think Favre came in 1992. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing kind of the end of the career, I think, of that second quarterback. And then, you know, you watched a little bit yesterday, and you did see Marquez Valdez-Scantling have three catches for 111 yards. You saw Davante Adams had eight for 95. That's a lot of yardage to replace. That's 200 yards right there, almost. And, you know, we saw a lot of drops yesterday. The offensive line, I was listening to the pregame a little bit on the radio as I was coming home, and they were talking about they had four different starters, you know, in different positions. They moved them around a little bit. They had Tom at left, and they held up pretty quickly, but they did throw a lot of quick passes yesterday. You know, you look up and down the league, and it's just not a running league anymore, is it? You know, we got two good running backs. Dylan hardly rushed the ball at all yesterday because I think they realized they couldn't run up the middle. That was a good, stout defense. One thing that was a little bit disconcerting was that, you know, the very first play of the game, they pitched it out to Aaron Jones, and he kind of rushed for 8 yards. And it seemed like every time they did that, they were picking up 5 to 10 yards, and they only did it a handful of times.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get a little bit concerned about that. All the quick passes, so many drops yesterday. Defensively, we played okay, you know.
Yeah.
I think that group got better the last couple of weeks, but yeah, it's one of those things where you know, Aaron Rodgers, I think I read something that he said, we're still okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're 3-4 right now, are the Packers. And what, you got 17 games? That's seven. So
when it comes to that, Randy, another thing that kind of stood out to me too, and this may be a prisoner of the moment, I will completely admit that, but we've seen the Aaron Rodgers press conference for a decade now, well over that, and we know how these go. He is usually, he walks into these things believing or wanting to be at least the smartest person in the room, and he does this pretty much every room he's ever walked into. And he comes in usually a little defiant, little tongue-in-cheek, a little mysterious, those kind of things. I personally enjoy a lot of what Aaron does in his you know, off the field life, as far as the way he handles himself, in some of the things he says. I don't think it's happened a little bit more recently because he does so much more TV, he's got the Pat McAfee connection, you know. So Pat McAfee's breaking Aaron Rodgers news left and right and all this stuff and everything, and because he's got that weekly thing, we're hearing him a little bit more. And it's because of those conversations and hearing him talk about other things, especially this offseason, that press conference he just did yesterday is the first time I've seen him after a game just reading a teleprompter, basically. Like, just reading, like, I'm the quarterback of this team. This is what I'm supposed to say. I have to say this. And sounding angrier. Like, when Aaron said the famous relax, when he's done things like that, you're seeing the California kid. You're seeing the kid that's like, look, man, this is going to be all right. You got to see the big picture, baby. You got to look at this old. Like, I get that part of him, and I like that part of his personality. And I think it's part of what makes somebody a good quarterback is being able to have a good third perspective and bring your guy, your team together and stuff when you have those down moments. It's not about how you're doing when you're winning the game. Anybody can be a good leader when it comes to that. How are you when things are hard? Aaron, to me, has always seemed like a guy that other guys want to play for. They want to play with. This is the first season where I feel like I'm not seeing that, and I also don't feel like I'm seeing Aaron Rodgers comfortable. Like, not just in the pocket, but outside the pocket in those press conferences and everything. I never seen him like that before, and I didn't expect that. I liked what he said. I thought it was pretty much the perfect thing you have to say in that moment. But it also seemed like, again, like a writer wrote it for him. Like, and I've never seen him talk like that.
I think probably the most difficult part for him is so many drops yesterday. Christian Watson, who they had really high hopes for, just dropped that very first pass of the year, and I don't know if that got a little bit into his psyche. Of course, then he's been injured, and then he loses his buddy to the ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you just guys aren't catching it. And you have nobody to throw it to. That's tough. That is a tough combination. And when's Watson going to be back? When are these other injured players going to be returning? It's got to be tough to stand up there and go, hey, everything's okay, we're going to be fine, because it's now been 3 weeks and it's been the whole year and everything's not fine offensively.
So what I want to know, what my real question is with all this is, are you guys relaxed out there? How concerned are you? Or are you kind of... Yeah, it's not cool. This isn't great, but I it's going to be it's a long season. We're getting through the first month of the season here. It's a lot left to play.
Well, when you lose to the Jets, Giants, and Washington, and you see what's ahead in the schedule, starting with Buffalo in Buffalo on Sunday, how can you even dream about going anywhere in the future? They got a tough road to hoe, that's for sure. And if they would beat Buffalo, then I'd say okay. But I just can't see that happening.
And
but you never know. It's the NFL.
Exactly. And that's all it takes.
Yeah.
To give you data to give, if you want to look at Green Bay's chances in this, I'll go back to the sentence you just said. Nobody had the Jets or Washington beating Green Bay.
Giants.
Or the Giants, yeah. Or the Giants being 6-1 in the season, right, or anything like that. 1-6 maybe, but not 6-1. So anything can happen any given Sunday. And the whole season could change with a W next Sunday in Buffalo.
Right.
Good morning. You're on Playmakers.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, how's it going, bud?
Well, a little rainy, but...
Yeah.
See, the sky is falling.
I do like Randy, but when he comes in and says there's only 61 more days, shopping days till Christmas,
yeah,
I'm one of those guys that have to deliver the packages, so I'm not really looking forward to that already.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's awesome. We appreciate you doing that, by the way, too, though. We appreciate that work.
But in the lean years, back in the 80s when the Packers really struggled, until we end up getting, we had Mikulski and Favre and now Rodgers. We had tough times in those years, too. They had a couple of years, I think, when Ray Rhodes was the head coach, and they went 8-8. And when McCarthy first came to Green Bay, I think it was a losing record. And, it took time. But to me, in those games, in those years, it seemed like every game the team put effort into it. The last 3 weeks, it's like they don't put any effort into it. Yesterday, they're down 2 scores, 5 minutes left in the game. You're huddling up. There's no urgency there. You had all 3 timeouts left. Let's go, let's go into the no huddle. Let's get down the field. They go down the field pretty quick, but it's just the urgency wasn't there yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they'd had 30 more seconds left, they could have run another pass play and gotten field goal position.
Mm-hmm. Right. He throws the ball to the middle of the field. You have no timeouts. What was he thinking? I know he was wide open, but why would you do that?
There was a reason he was wide open. Yeah, you played right into their hand with that play.
Right. You talked about the drop passes. Boy, some of those drop passes that the guys had, they're professionals. They should catch it. A lot of those were not easy catches.
No.
Dumpton is wrong mentally and physically with Rodgers.
Well, maybe part of it is the thumb. But on the other hand, you know, he likes to protect his receivers, and a lot of those passes were about knee high. You know, and I think he's used to throwing those passes to Devontae, and he catches them down there. Hmm. And I think that might be part of the difference too.
Yeah, I can't think of how many times I saw Devontae Adams turn into a 2 feet tall just to catch a ball, like just sprint, just crunch, and get down there and get that ball. So good with his hands when it came to that.
So I mean, I mean, it's frustrating. Like I said, the effort. To me, I mean, my goodness, I mean, it's a professional league. You're going to have changes every year, and you have to adapt to those changes every year. And to me, you know, the Packers have done a great job adapting and making changes to please Rodgers. The team, I mean, yeah, you want to try to build the best team around him so you can get back to a Super Bowl again and all that stuff, but they're also looking for the future because they know they're not going to have 12 around forever. And I think he's got to adapt a little bit more, too, than everybody's got to adapt to him. So I don't know how many times I yelled at the TV yesterday. It's bringing love. Start making this the love era, you know. Because Rodgers comes off the field. He looks like he doesn't want to be out there. Let's do something fresh at that, you know, and let's do something.
It's weird when you see the athletes with a lot of what I'm seeing in the fan base. A lot of, this is my team. I always get up for every Packer game, every Sunday. This is what I live for. I love this and everything. And then you get watching the game. And after a couple of weeks of that, you get to remember some of those days you were talking about, sir, back in the Randy White era or something like that. Yeah. And like, oh, no. Oh, and then all of a sudden it becomes a almost an obligation instead of something that you're looking forward to.
I think
to do.
I'll record the game, do something, and watch it in an hour and fast forward motion later.
Right, yeah. Right. And the fan base is feeling that for years. So many of my friends, my brother in particular, the Christian McCaffrey trade breaks overnight. For those that didn't hear, McCaffrey traded from Carolina to San Francisco. San Francisco gave up a 2, a 3, a 4, and a next year 5. Not even a number one pick for one of the most diverse talents in the league. And if I'm a Green Bay fan, I'm looking, and I know how much my draft picks mean. I don't have a future without my draft picks. That being said, I got to win now. I got a guy under contract that is an albatross, and I got to get a title out of this. Otherwise, why am I paying him? The only reason I'm paying him this money and not rebuilding is because we think that there's a window for us to win a Super Bowl. We're Green Bay. Winning an NFC championship don't mean as much. Winning a division playoff game don't mean as much. We need Super Bowls. All that going on, I mean, if I'm a fan base and I'm seeing, oh, McCaffrey goes for that, for a bag of shells, I could have had Christian McCaffrey. I know they have running backs. You can't have enough weapons. He's basically a wide receiver. What we used to call it back in the day, a flanker, that kind of thing. Like, he's essentially that.
Do you think people on Saturday night saw that and went, oh, look what they're doing. They're making this move. And then on Sunday night when they got blown out by the Kansas City are going, good thing we didn't do that.
I wonder.
You know how people are. One second they're like, we should be doing that. The next second, like, well, good thing we didn't do that. We wasted all those draft picks.
To me, it wasn't what I was hearing from the fan base wasn't so much about the player as look at this team making moves. They lost their quarterback. Look at what they do. It's, you know, huge difference between the San Francisco market and the Green Bay market. But to the what you said to the caller's point and everything, the fan base has been screaming for give me some receivers. Let me read this tweet real quick. If the Packers go after a wide receiver, they should just package a bunch of third-round picks. I don't care who it is. DJ Moore, every third pick from the next 3 years. Braxton Berrios, here, have some third-round picks. Khalif Raymond, some third-round picks for your troubles. Like, here, take them. Like, just give us some receivers. I thought that was kind of funny, but it's also like that's where a lot of the fan base is. Like, look, give me somebody. Get a body out there.
Well, just think, couldn't we have had Marshawn Lynch from Buffalo for like a fourth-round pick?
Bag of shells.
Yep, and then I think Seattle gave up a third round pick and got him. We're like, really?
if you look at it though, too, I mean, like you said, you give up those third round picks. What has the Packers done in the third round? And what has our draft picks been in the third round? terrible.
This is how I felt about Chicago pretty much my whole life when it comes to our first round picks. Many older listeners might remember out there, we had like Neil Anderson. What do we do with our first round pick? Draft like Curtis Enos, like another running back, even though we've got it's one position we had down. And they did that another year, like 3 years in a row. And it got to the point where it was kind of like, maybe we should just trade this. Like we seem to not know what they do okay in other rounds, but that first round pick, horrible with it. Maybe trade it for a guy who's actually bona fide or something, because we can't seem to get this right. I think that's a good point. I think that's a especially when you're talking first round picks, if things go the way you want them to, that first round pick ain't going to be worth much. It's a early second round pick almost with having it that late in the first
round.
Where
the Packers have been picking the last how many years, right?
So, I mean, and if I'm Aaron Rodgers, especially, because I know they're not using those first-round picks on guys to help me anyway. So, but you might as well trade it off and get me a disgruntled receiver or something like that.
Maybe they could pick up a Davante Adams or an MVS.
But did you see that one stat, though, they did put up in the game is last year's Final Four between Green Bay, Tampa Bay, San Francisco and
the Rams.
Yep. They're all either 500 or losing records.
That's got to be the same thing going on in those markets in Tampa Bay. What did Tampa Bay score yesterday? 3.
That's where I wanted to wrap up on. I thought that might make people feel a little bit better out there, because if you think it's rough in Green Bay, man, what is going on with Tampa Bay right now?
Would you like to be in New York and be a Yankee fan? Who was the guy they were just ripping because he struggled? Donald, I think in his at-bats. Oh, my goodness. I was just thinking that poor kid.
Perspective is your best friend as a sports fan. It is your best friend. Hang on to perspective. Get to know him very well.
And misery loves company.
Yes. Yes.
But one thing before I let you guys go with you guys is we have to have a big shout out to a former Rafter that's going to be playing in the World Series, and Bryson Stott.
Yeah.
He was with the Rafters, in 2016, 15, something like that?
Wasn't that long ago. It doesn't feel that long ago.
It doesn't. And he's actually now playing in the World Series.
That's so cool.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that is really something. That's a great note to end on. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Always good to talk to you.
Hopefully they interview me and talk about Rapids. You too.
Have a good week. Appreciate the call. Yeah, that would be great.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Gives a shout-out to the Rafters. Gives a shout-out to the Rapids. That'd be good. Let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll get into some high school sports, cover some of that for you, and plenty more right here on Playmakers, which is brought to you by our good friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio, and we're looking for your phone calls, 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. You got to call up. You got to bring us your sports thoughts and feelings. We're going to get to some high school coverage from our Randy Paul here in just a moment. First, let's take one of those calls. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, I can't give up the baseball yet. Yeah. Give a shout-out to the Phillies. I mean, they came from the very, very bottom. And they got a chance for all the marbles this next week.
Do you have anybody are you rooting for in this, or just kind of hoping to see
a
good
one? I'm going to follow the Phillies all the way through. I've been following them all since they beat us. So.
Right on.
And I'm hoping that they knock off Houston for sure, yeah.
Yeah, same here. I've been following Philly a bit too. Once I kind of realized none of the teams I like are going to get in and all that, I was kind of – I like the attitude that Philly seems to be carrying. I like the idea of a team losing their manager and going to the World Series. I hope that's a good example of, to other owners, Jerry Reinsdorf. I think it's just a cool story. And I'm a fan of Dusty Baker. I like Dusty Baker, and I'm not really rooting for Houston.
I have too. I love Dusty,
Do you guys do this, too, that when there's not necessarily one of your favorite teams or a player that you really like in a World Series or a Super Bowl, you kind of find if either team wins, I'll be good. If Philly wins, they haven't won one in a while. It's kind of a fun situation. If Houston wins, it's such a redemption story. And I do kind of like the idea of Dusty Baker having a World Series ring. I think that's kind of cool.
And it's so much more relaxing to watch, isn't it, when you don't have that.
Right, yes.
I will say this, and I'm not proud to admit this. I think I may enjoy baseball more when the pressure isn't on. I think I actually get to just be a fan and enjoy the game instead of just, you know, chewing on my knuckles and everything as I'm watching the White Sox throw away another season.
Or it's like watching a replay of a game when you know the Badgers or Packers already won.
Right, right, yes.
Oh, so they'll come back. It's okay.
I don't mind doing that either, yeah.
Yeah, I was also following the Padres, and I have a friend out in San Diego, below San Diego, that I still talk to quite a bit. But anyways, I would love to have Josh Hader win a Super Bowl ring. That would have been awesome, yeah.
Yeah, maybe next year.
I'm going to follow the Phillies all the way through, and hope that we get to see them at the end.
Should be a fun series.
Yeah. We'll talk more about it once it gets going here. Be sure to call back next Monday, and we'll talk some more about this.
Yeah, we'll have a couple games in by that time,
right? Yeah. Thanks for the call, as always, sir. You have a great day.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Randy, you got some high school coverage for us here. Yes. I know it was a busy weekend.
Speaking of playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, should we start in high school football, level one?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Division one, the Lincoln Red Raiders lost for only the third time this season. Unfortunately, it was the second time at Wausau West as the Warriors held Rapid scoreless in half number two while scoring two touchdowns to win it 28-14. Leo Brostowitz ends his high school career with 106 yards and one touchdown on the year. He rushed for 1,748 yards and 20 touchdowns. So kudos to him, the offensive line, that whole team. I mean, he's still
on. Those numbers are staggering. Yeah, right? I'm sorry, that's impressive.
Nice season for Coach Biolo, and then 8-3, right?
I don't know if it's a season we expected. I know just talking to some people that, you know, really in the know and everything, weren't too sure what we were going to have this year. So you're so right. I'm a Lincoln grad. I'll admit that and everything. So I really root for them, of course, and I'm a homer. But even though it was tough for them to lose, I couldn't help but be like, yeah, I mean, this season was a pretty great season. It was pretty cool, like, no matter how it ended.
Yeah, really, you know, really proud that they ended up tied for the conference championship once again this year. So, yeah, congratulations. You know, now that sting hurts for a while, but it'll heal and you look back and say good year, right?
Yeah.
Elsewhere in Division One, 3Dubs will now travel to Bayport to face the number one team in state, the Pirates, who were 42-14 winners over De Pere. And DC Everest gave up a late touchdown to second-seeded and eighth-ranked Hudson, almost upset them, but they fell 20-16. Division 2, Marshfield outlasted Pulaski 21-13. They'll now head over to seventh-ranked River Falls. They were 40-20 winners over La Crosse Central. In Division 3, Mosinee was 30 better than Shawano, 50-20. Division 4, Adams Friendship lost at home to Baldwin Woodville 48-36. 10th ranked Wisconsin Dells was upset by 6-seeded St. Croix Central 20-0.
That's
surprising. I was wondering if something happened there.
Yeah, injury
and,
or something.
Yeah. And Mauston, they were blown out at second seed and fourth-ranked Ellsworth 60-19. Division 5, fourth-ranked Colby clobbered Gale Ettrick Trempolo 49-16. Watoma lost at Laconia 42-0. And number 3, Whitburn was upset at home by Keel 16-6. I know Michael and I were talking about that on Friday night. That one kind of surprised us, as good as Whitburn looked against Nakusa last week. Division 6, second seeded and eighth ranked Stratford shuts out Cumberland 54-0. That's a pretty big gap. And ninth ranked Auburndale toppled Fall Creek 47-20. The seventh ranked Assumption Royals advanced with an impressive 34-18 win over Pittsville in Division 7. Nick Lieberg and Cade Stotts rushed for 110 and 102 yards respectively, while Jack Klatt returned from injury to complete 5 passes for 105 yards and 2 touchdowns. While for the Panthers, Dawson Luther ran for 62 yards and a score. Assumption will now head over to the Wisconsin-Illinois border to face Blackhawk Warren, Illinois. They were 56-20 winners over Highland. Interesting. Assumption's ranked 7th in the state. Blackhawk is not ranked at all. They have a better record than Blackhawk, and yet Blackhawk got the higher seed. So go figure.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
No. Also, Shiacton leveled the Lord's Academy 42-0. Pacelli was pounded by the number one team in state, Eau Claire Regis. Eau Claire Regis pounds everybody.
Yeah.
That one was 57-16. And third-ranked Edgar trounced Turtle Lake 42-6. Finally, in eight-man football, Timmy Tranel passed for 212 yards and 2 touchdowns. He rushed for 2 more and 97 yards, but it wasn't enough as the Blackhawks come up short at fourth-ranked DeSoto 56-32. And top-ranked Newman Catholic Malls McDonald Catholic 69-13. Volleyball, girls' regionals began this week as well. In Division I on Thursday, Wisconsin Rapids was eliminated by Marshfield in three games. Then the Tigers advanced to the sectionals by defeating Eau Claire North in three. DC Everest edged Spash 3-1, but then fell in three games at 7th-ranked Chi High, while Wausau West lost in the opener to Eau Claire Memorial in four games. Division II, only Mosinee advanced to the regional final, but lost three straight to Oconto Falls. Division III, Nakusa beat Westfield 3-1 in the opening round before falling to Stanley Boyd in four games. Stanley Boyd was then ousted by Auburndale 3-0. Also reaching the sectional semis will be the Eagles' next opponent, 8th-ranked Edgar, who topped Marathon in four games, and top-seeded Whitburn will face second-seeded Wyawega Fremont in a sectional semifinal. Division 4, the Assumption Royals advanced to the sectionals with a thrilling come-from-behind, down 2-0 win over second-ranked Columbus Catholic, and they'll now face the third-ranked Blue Jays of Athens, who swept 7th-ranked Newman Catholic, and that game will be at Athens on Thursday. And Port Edwards, they fell in round one, 3-1 to Rosholt. More action in the high schools. The boys' soccer regionals were played this week. In Division I, Rapids is really having a good year. Yeah. They advance with the win over Hortonville 5-0, and then Nina 3-1 right here in town on Saturday. They'll travel to Oshkosh West on Thursday to face the top-seeded Wildcats. Also, Spash stopped 3-dubs 2-1 before being shut out by Hudson, who's ranked 9th in the state, 4-0. And Everest was upset in round one by Eau Claire North via penalty kicks. Division 2, Marshfield edge Wausau East in a shootout before falling to Pulaski, also number 9 in state. They fell 9-1. Division 3, Mosinee topped Wapaka before losing to Medford 4-0. 7th-ranked Wisconsin Dells crushed Prairie du Chien 10-0 and Mount Horeb 6-1, while Fox Valley Lutheran had little trouble with Adams Friendship 8-1. In Division 4, Nakusa fell at top seed Arcadia 6-1. Pacelli was blanked by Aquinas 7-0, who beat the Dons of Marshfield Columbus 3-0 after that. Newman got beat by Barron, also 3-0. And Northland Lutheran leveled Gresham Bowler 6-1 before losing to top seed Somerset 3-0. So, busy weekend and week in high school sports, and it'll be just like that again next week as we advance to level 2 in football and the sectionals in volleyball and soccer.
So that's all. That's all you had. That's it.
I stopped looking after that.
Right, right. I can only imagine.
It was bedtime.
always appreciate all the coverage, Randy. Thank you so much for everything you were doing there. Just a couple of things I want to note before we go to break. I know this happened a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it, and I did want to dive into it a little bit with you. The Amherst football team that had to forfeit all their wins because of one ineligible player for the playoffs. It was a huge story a couple of weeks ago when it came to this. Amherst, nice season, a really nice season, and it sounds like something that happened that there's not one of those things where there's anybody to blame. Nobody was doing any mischievousness or anything like that. Just something that, you know, rules are rules, and this broke one of them. Now, there are a lot of people that said that the WIAA could have handled this differently. You know, you could have done what they did, make them forfeit the season, or you maybe remove that one athlete from the team going forward, the rest of the season. There's so many things, and I've heard from a number of different people, one way or the other, this could have happened, that could have happened. But the one thing that I've heard the most consistent is that it feels like they could have done something for these kids, for the kids that didn't do anything wrong, for the kids that just wanted to play football, for the fans that just wanted to, of the school, the play, you know, not just the coaching staff. I'm talking about the parents that brought these kids to practices since the beginning of the end of spring, you know, that kind of thing. Do you think the WIAA did what they had to do, or kind of like just follow the letter of the law? When, hey, sometimes you got to be human here.
Yeah, it's a tough one, you know. Uh-huh. A couple of things that I saw and read was that kind of piqued my interest. The fact that this was brought forward by a person that was familiar with the situation, and then of course the banter goes on. Did they know this at the beginning of the year already, so that they wouldn't have had a forfeit, or do they strategically wait until right before the playoffs, and so therefore they'd have to forfeit all these games? When did this person find out? You know, that would be good to know.
Yeah.
That's a little bit concerning, because you think about the kids and you think about those parents who, I can't believe there would be, you know, the whole football team would say, hey, you know, Bob, who came to our school, you know, he played, used up his eligibility. Let's keep it quiet. Nobody will ever find out.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going to happen. So here you got these people who are just enjoying this great season. They start off struggling. If I remember right, they lost the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had that great win against Whitburn, where they got that late touchdown after a pick, or a field goal after a pick. And then they rolled off a bunch of wins. And then, you know, they end up the season with that last game when, of course, they're told they're ineligible for the playoffs, and they end up beating Stratford.
Yeah.
Your heart just goes out, right? They go out to the kids, they go out to the parents, and you sure wish somehow, some way, that something could have been done, that they could have figured this out. And I don't know what, you know, I don't know who the boy is. I don't know what position he played. I don't know how much he played on the team, what kind of effect he had on the team. Does that make a difference, or is it because it's the rule is the rule, like you said? So a lot of things go into it, that's for sure.
Just like a lot of organizations, it does seem like they're going to be going back to the drawing board in the off season kind of thing, where they're going to rehash some of these rules, look over some of them maybe. There's got to be a line in the sand on this one, where you figure things out, and okay, if this happens again, how can we do this where we're not punishing 50 because of one? You know, that almost goes against the opposite of sports in some ways. Now, sports at its essence is a team thing. It's building team. It's building camaraderie. It's we didn't win this game. I didn't win the game. We as a team won the game. It's never a loss is never on one person, so that it's not just all on their shoulders. Hey, I know he fumbled, but I could have made a play in the first quarter and I didn't make it happen. So it's not just on him. It's on all of us. That's sports. But when it comes to, like, outside of the diamond, off the football field, out of the rink, all those things, that's where we're human. That's where we've really got it. Like, we have a chance to not let emotions get in the way and all these things. We're not in the heat of the moment. We can actually take a step back and really help. And I don't mean to put the WIAA in a bad light here or anything like that. I'll be honest, I don't know a whole lot of people that work for the organization or anything. I just take in a lot of their sports. but I'll tell you, if I am getting a paycheck right now from the NCAA, I'm renting. I'm not buying. I'll tell you that right now, because the NCAA is closer to the end than it is the beginning. We're going to have a time here not long from now where, remember when there was the NCAA? Remember when they used to do these silly things like they take somebody's title away, even though we all saw them win the title, when they took Reggie Bush's Heisman away, when we saw him win the title, like that kind of thing. You don't want the WIAA, and not just ours here in this state, but other states that cover high school athletics. You don't want that happening to them. And we're getting a little of that. We're seeing a little of that there where, hey, if you guys can't police this, if you can't do your job, we're going to start doing it ourselves. We're just going to take it over. It has to come down to the kids. It has to come back to that. You don't have the billion-dollar industry here. You don't have those things to worry about. Focus on the kids. What is the best? I know this is the rule, but look, we're all human beings here. What can we work out to make this fair, not just to the kids of Amherst, but to the kids that they would play in that first round of playoffs or anything like that? There's a lot of, you know, it's all of this together.
One thing that might come out of this, and I don't have any idea. I know Michael was talking a little bit about how he knows the athletic director, said just a wonderful person. But maybe what will come out of this are, like, other schools will look at this and say, and, you know, anytime we got a transfer in, we're going to really dig deep and make sure that, you know, they haven't used up their eligibility. And it's going to probably go beyond just talking to that student athlete, because, you know, the student athlete might be going, I didn't play, you know, I didn't know that counted. Or maybe they don't know. You know, so they're going to have to really, you know, dig into that, and how many transfers are you going to be coming onto your team in the year? You know, you're going to probably have to, they'll probably say, you know what, look what happened to Amherst, we're going to have to make sure that doesn't happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Other thing I wanted to note, that the 2022 State Boys and Girls Cross Country Championships are going on this Saturday, October 29th, at the Ridges Golf Course.
Right here in town, yeah.
Right here. That's pretty cool. Girls competition kicks off at noon, boys competition at 2. Award ceremony will be about 3:30-ish or whatever. One of my favorite things in the world, track and field, cross country, all that. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy.
So you mean that the little 10-minute on high school sports that we just had next week will be like 13?
They probably, yes. yes, probably. I'm looking forward to this event, and especially it being hosted by the Ridges. That's a great place, great spot to have it.
Those kids always come over. It's just like when they go over for track and field at lacrosse. They always come over here at this weekend, right last weekend in October for the cross country meet. So it's always a good time over there too.
Couple of great weekends in a row here for our River Kings, who just keep winning, just keep on, you know, killing it out
there. Did they just lose their first game of the year on Friday, did I hear?
Yeah. And then they went right back and won again on Saturday.
Overtime, yes.
And
then I think they lost by one or two yesterday, if I remember correctly.
A couple of our Kings have already gotten, like, Player of the Week kind of things and stuff, too.
Maybe even Player of the Month, maybe.
Yeah, I saw one, yeah. That's been great. Our defense, I'm really liking our defense. These kids are not just hitters, they're shooters and hitters. They're playmakers while also playing D, which is kind of like a lot of the hybrids and you see in the NHL nowadays, but they're few and far between. These kids, though, we got a lot of that on this River Kings team.
Yeah, this weekend they're going to be over in Minnesota, I think. They're going to be playing four games against four different teams from Thursday through Saturday in Minneapolis. I think they got the Hudson Havoc on Thursday, Utah Outliers, love that name, on Friday.
It's a great one.
Ogden Mustangs on Saturday, and the Chicago Cougars on Sunday. And they might play the Bears. It depends upon how the Bears are doing that day.
they'd probably win. It's a fun showcase that they do here that they're going to be doing at Fogarty Ice House. And I'm looking at this also because I want to know when they're back. When are we getting our Kings back in town? November 11th. The River Kings will be back, taking on the Minnesota Squatch. Another great name, isn't it?
Yeah, right? Seems like a long way away, doesn't it?
It does. It feels like it. How'd you like to get ready for it? How'd you like to go for free, everybody? Help your Kings as they build hockey up and down the river, and be sure to support them as they are got our new home on Wisc Country 105.5 WIRI. Every home game all season long, right on that our sister station.
Mark Lochner calling the plays for you.
Yeah, Mark doing a nice job too on that. And a shout out to him for that. And we want you at the game. We know that home ice advantage, there's nothing like it in hockey. Let's show them what home ice advantage is. Get yourself a pair of tickets. Call up right now at 424-2600 and just tell me your favorite hockey team. Tell me your favorite hockey team. Tell me that, and boom, just like that, you win these tickets. Unless you call up and say something like the Cubs. Like, oh, wait a minute, that's not a hockey team, man. You got to give me at least a hockey team.
We're like the WIA. We have rules.
Yes, we do have some rules. We got a little bit of rules. Call up 424-2600. Win yourself a pair of River Kings tickets. These are general admission for any home game. And support your Kings by going to riverkingshockey.com and support them as they build hockey up and down the river. We'll take one last break, come back, and have some more fun here on Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Post Printing at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Playmakers for this October 24th. You got your host, James, here. I'm joined by my partner in sports, Randy Paul. Good morning, Randy.
Morning, James. Morning, all.
We'll take you right to the top of the hour. If you want to call up, please feel free to 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Randy and I wanted to talk a little college sports as we're wrapping up here. Good weekend in college sports. It was a fun week, and it's been interesting.
Yeah, a little surprise maybe that the Badgers really handled Purdue as easily as they did.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how to word it, but that's exactly my feeling. And I actually talking back and forth with a couple really diehard Badger fans during the game, it was almost like I kept waiting for them to ask me to pinch them because they didn't want to believe it. Like, wait a minute, I'm not sure about this. It's a good game, though.
Yeah, 21-0 after the first quarter. They just kind of put her in cruise control after that, even stopped them on a touchdown that they said they didn't stop them on. That one was kind of an interesting call.
Yeah.
You know, I thought more about that, too, and I think we discussed a little bit off air. You know, the reason that they gave for the touchdown where the runner for Purdue was about, I'd say 2 feet short, was that they didn't have a decent look down the line.
Yeah.
And my question back to them would then be, then why are you reviewing it? If you don't have a decent look, even though there's two cameras that showed us right down the line, and they said they didn't have a decent look right down the line, then why do you even bother to review it? So either they didn't have a decent look down the line, which we all did, or somebody's not telling us what we need to hear correctly.
Yeah.
That's very disconcerting if that's the case.
It's either incompetence or you're lying to us. It's one or the other.
And then there's this conspiracy theory always, right? You know?
Yep.
And then somebody tweeted out and said, now the over was matched, you know, on the betting line. And you're like, oh, we've always said this, James, on this show, that we're worried that, you know, that there's just too much money in sports.
Yep.
And if that's the case, boy, boy, when you see a call like that, well, even in the Packer game, that penalty on Stokes, granted, he contacted him downfield. There's no question about it. But I bet you the Packers are going to send 100 different plays into the office from every NFL game and say, here's contact downfield, here's contact downfield, here's contact downfield. Why was this one any worse than any of the rest, right?
These are the things that can kill the golden goose of football.
Mm-hmm.
The referees, you know, not making great calls or making bad calls, and the concern of the gambling industry and how that is going to affect sports. Randy and I are not conspiracy theorists. You listen to this show. We're pretty basic, you know, pretty down-to-earth people and all that. And we're even making these connections in our heads and on stuff. Like, it tells you a lot right there when we're not the type of people that look for these things even. And it's almost getting to a point where they're saying the quiet part out loud. You know what I mean? Like, they were trying, like, back in, this was so behind the scenes for so long, and now with it out in the open and, you know, gambling's legalized and all these things, they almost seem like they feel like, well, we can say and do whatever we want. We can make it as obvious as we want. That's not going to have a shelf life with your average fan. That's for the gambler, sure. The gambler isn't watching because they love this team or that team. They love winning. That's what they care about. They want to win money. They want that rush. The people that make money off of sports, the ones that really should be concerned about this, couldn't care less. It's us as fans that I'm really concerned for. And it's something that I tell to a lot of people all the time. I think because we forget sometimes. We have power as fans. We have our dollar. And if we choose to go to these games, if we choose to buy these jerseys, if we choose to spend our time, which none of us have a whole lot of, on this, I spend 3 hours of my week, or more than that, let's be honest, on a Sunday or Saturday to watch college or pro football, you know? And this is my break. This is what I love. I look forward to this every year. I only got a couple months of it. How long does that last, that passion, after week of seeing another one, another bad call, or another questionable ending to a game, another questionable ending to a game? When's the last week we came out of the NFL or the NCAA season, a week, where it was like, well, it was nice that week, no controversies, none, no bad calls, no controversies, none. I don't know if in my lifetime I've ever experienced that.
And, you know, I've done a little bit of officiating in my day. It is such a hard thing to do, you know, so we feel for those people. That's not what we're saying, you know.
Yes.
What we're saying is nowadays we've got the technology to help them.
Right.
That's what we want to do, is help these people. I would have loved help if, you know, if I had made a call and I wasn't sure about it. Hey, let's go look at it, you know. Boy, was I wrong. I thought he was in and he was a half yard short.
Yeah.
Right? And then you've got those. A couple of weeks ago, we had those sacks that took place, you know, on Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Well, they got the technology to look at it, and they're always like, well, you don't want to make the game longer. Well, yes, you do if you want it to get it right.
Yeah.
You know, and your team might make the playoffs or miss the playoffs because of it. Yeah, I'll take an extra minute. You know, that always bothered me. I'd make up all this time to go to a Packer game on Sunday, so I'd make sure that my schedule worked. I'd have to spend the money, right? So you put all that into factor, and now you don't want me to spend an extra 5 minutes at the game?
Yeah.
Just come on. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
It so much of this, because I agree with everything you said there, Randy. I don't like the low-hanging fruit of just blaming referees. They're human beings. We make mistakes, all that. It's part of what, whether we like it or not, it's part of the element of the game we all love, is the human element, whether it's with referees, umpires, whatever. Even coaches can be a part of that. That being said, it's worrisome when it's not just, a guy dropped the ball or something like that. It's a... the whole season was decided on this horrible play or something like that. Man, it's littered through that with that. That's going to have a shelf life. That's going to get to a point where people are all right, flip. The NBA has a concern with this right now when it comes to some of their talent. So many of these kids are getting into the NBA way too early. They can't even dribble with their other hand, you know. And look at Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum or actually Jaylen Brown is probably a better example. Kid's got tons of talent. Any one of us would love him on our team. Can't go to the left. Kid can't dribble to the left. Something he would have learned maybe in his second year in a sophomore in college or something like that. Can't even go to his left. So if I'm playing Jaylen Brown, I know exactly how to play him defensively. Everybody does. My nephew, who's like 6 years old, could cover him. All he's got to do is go to the right. All he's got to just lean him that way.
Heck, you can even do it with James Harden, right? You just want to take away his left.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So much of that. And those two guys we just mentioned are not rookies. They've been in the league a while. So this has been an issue for them for a while. And then you add on the last couple of years where kids are going faster. They want to go right to the NBA. Not even be able to grow a beard yet. And they're in the NBA. Like that kind of thing. There's for every person like a Moses Malone or a LeBron James or somebody like
Kobe
that.
Bryant. Yep.
Yeah, who are born for this. They have been ready for this probably since their last day of high school. There are 90,000 others who just are not ready to do this. And you almost have to protect them from themselves in that regard. And that's, again, why we have some of these rules. The NBA is going to announce very soon that they're getting rid of the one and done.
Mm.
And I actually think that this may be the thing that hurts them more than anything else that I've said in years past or anything about the game. Because in a couple of years, they're going to go back. They're going to go back to one and done or 2 years or something like that. And then they'll go back again. They can't make up their mind. And society changes and ebbs and flows. You stick to something and you make it mandatory that it is an age, a certain age that they can be going into the NBA. Make it like that. Quit treating this like it's a birthright. It's a privilege to play sports for a living. Make them wait. Make them wait a little bit. Now, there's tons of conversation we can have about universities making millions off of these kids and then making nothing, and then wanting to get a paycheck to help out a family, especially a family in need. All that gray area, I would love to have that discussion, and I think that there's a lot to be said there.
Well, you just think back to the 60s, and I don't even remember where it ran into and how far it went, but like with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was a little mm-hmm, center, he mm-hmm. couldn't play his freshman year, you know,
yeah.
because freshmen could not play as college kids because I think, if I remember correctly, the reasoning was they're getting acclimated to college life.
Yes,
right? And that's why they went to college. It was for, you know, to get a degree, and they didn't want to put this extra burden on them, so they waited until they were at least sophomores, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will it ever go back to that? Will there be, like, lawsuits against it because, you know, now you're saying, hey, I'm 18 years old, and you're not allowing me to do what I want, and I can't, you know, so...
Yeah.
There's always lots of ramifications, aren't there?
A lot there, and a lot left on the cutting room floor that we were not able to get to because we didn't even get to talk basketball. But we got a lot in.
We only have an hour.
We do. We only have an hour, and we love spending it with you guys out there. Thanks so much for all the calls today. A big shout-out to all of you. A gigantic shout-out to my partner in sports here, Randy Paul. Appreciate all you do, brother.
Yep, thank you.
We're hoping to hear from you here. We'll let you know about Assumption Football later in the week. We can tell you that we got the Wisconsin Hockey Hour at 7 this tomorrow, and this Friday, Wisconsin hosting Penn State. That'll be a good one, so that should be a great game, too.
Badgers got a bye in football, though.
Yes, they do have a bye in football, so that's kind of nice. Yep. But we got Badger Hockey as they are taking
that's
on Penn
super.
State
yep.
Next couple of days here at the end of the week. You guys be good to each other. Stick around for more coming up here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.